Mental health in a time of social isolation probably involves an app. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. COVID-19 has opened up a conversation about remote therapy, but online mental health care goes way beyond talking to a therapist over video conference. App analytics companies say downloads of mental health and wellness apps are up almost 30% since the pandemic began. These include therapy services, yes, but also meditation apps like Calm or Headspace. So, first of all, do they work? And second, what are the privacy and regulation concerns? American Public Media's mental health reporter, Elisa Roth, took a look.
This might make Freud turn over in his grave. There's an app where you do therapy with a robot. There are also apps to monitor the side effects of medications, apps to help with PTSD, and the list goes on and on. Now, that doesn't mean technology is going to put your therapist out of business. John Torres is a psychiatrist who runs the Division of Digital Psychiatry at Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Boston.
An algorithm's not going to decide your care.
But he does use technology to help patients keep track of things that affect their mental health. Daniel Swenson is a freelance writer in Missoula, Montana, who has clinical depression. An app he's using now lets him rate his mood, with 1 being the worst and 10 being the best.
That kind of gives me a moment to realize that this emotion isn't me.
By some counts, there are as many as 10,000 mental health apps. So maybe it's no surprise that the prices are all over the map, from free downloads to $400 for a lifetime membership at a popular meditation app. Adam Powell is a healthcare consultant who says all of this means it's hard to know how much the mental health app business is actually worth.
Some of the variation has to do with how that market's defined.
Does it include wellness apps or just strictly mental health apps? Can they be billed to insurance or not? And so on. Stephanie Zerwas is a therapist in North Carolina who got a grant to design an app for people with eating disorders, but eventually gave up because a startup was doing it faster. That got her wondering how these should be regulated.
Do we think of apps as being like FDA-approved drugs? And we need to make sure that they're effective before they launch them to the market.
And because a lot of these apps are being developed by companies, John Torres, the psychiatrist, says he's worried about what those companies do with people's data.
What if you also gave this app access to your GPS so it knows where you sleep at night? And you gave this app access to your call and text record so it knows who your friends and contacts and romantic relationships are?
Drug companies, marketing companies, and insurance companies might all be interested in the data you're sharing as part of your mental health care, though maybe not in your well-being.
That's American Public Media's mental health reporter, Elisa Roth. The U.S. Census Bureau released data this week showing that roughly a third of Americans are showing signs of clinical depression or anxiety. And now for some related links. There's a link to more data on mental health downloads and a good CNBC story on the privacy challenges of all of this at our website, marketplacetech.org. That story notes that the FDA has relaxed some regulations on the use of teletherapy. And in mid-April, the agency said it would ease some pre-market requirements for apps and online programs that treat depression, insomnia, and anxiety. And here's what else we're watching in tech. To quote a friend, HBO Max, what even are you? The premium streaming service launched Wednesday. It's got new shows that are called Max Originals, 10,000 hours of movies and TV. It costs $15 a month, which is a lot. It is not the same thing as HBO Go, which you get if you subscribe to HBO on cable. It is not the same thing as HBO Now, which lots of people already pay $15 a month for. And you can convert your HBO Now subscription to HBO Max, but not if you pay for HBO Now through Amazon Prime or your Roku service or Apple TV or Hulu. And also, HBO Max doesn't even actually work on Roku or Amazon Fire devices, even though those two platforms combined are how 70% of people access streaming content. Oh, and also, HBO Max doesn't support 4K HDR streaming. I mean, This is obviously a really prime time for a streaming service to launch, with a really good library of content and a household brand name and all that stuff. And yet somehow, HBO has managed to out-Quibi Quibi here. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.